And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Tuesday. It's the 27th day of May, and Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Well, that's a good way to start it off.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's a little drizzly out there again.
Yeah, a little drizzly.
I saw a little thing somewhere said, yeah, our part of the country have only had rain twice this spring, once for 25 days and once for 35 days.
Yeah, I think it, of course, I was reading it earlier, National Sunscreen Day, I think.
And I was sitting there, you get the sun.
Yeah, you got to have the sun to use sunscreen. So, but anyway, but it's good to have you with us this morning.
Yeah, you drive around a while out in the county, you'll see a lot of standing water in a lot of places.
Very true. You know, when I was driving in this morning, I noticed, you know, some little bit of standing water on 6880. And, of course, you know, if you don't have real good tires on your vehicle, that can cause a lot of problems.
Well, you can go, whee!
Yeah, round and around you go.
Round and round you go, and where you stop, hopefully you'll be right, you know, dirty side down, clean side up.
That's it. That's it.
So okay.
Drive careful.
Got some things to go over a little bit. I'm going to kind of, you know, it's a variation. You can't make this stuff up, but it's the sort of thing that is not funny.
Yeah.
This is in Killeen, Texas, of all places, and there was a young student there, special needs girl, and she wanted to share her Christian faith, so she hand-wrote out a bunch of Bible verses just to pass out to her friends and give to them, and usually something like that happens, then you just say thank you, and you read the verse, and you go on.
Sure.
But not in Killeen, Texas. That the basically, the fifth grader, special needs, she brought them in there. They were confiscated first by the principal and then again by a teacher. And the report says, treated like dangerous contraband. The little girl was left heartbroken, confused, in tears. She wanted to share her faith, so she hand-wrote them, offered one to the principal, who immediately confiscated all the verses. He misled the client into thinking that they would personally share the verses with others who might be having a bad day, but she just, the principal just took them and refused to return them to the next day. Teacher, the next day, the student tried to give a verse to a teacher to be sternly told to stop. And the mother tried to explain to the school officials that she had a constitutional right to distribute religious literature, and the official says, well, we have a policy banning the distribution of religious literature entirely, and they say, and we post it on our website. Distributing any non-school material required a principal's approval. Well, the American Center for Law and Justice says, excuse me, that conflicts with established religious liberty under the First Amendment. Students' religious liberty rights are not shed at the schoolhouse gate. The policy violates the Establishment Clause that would require the principal, in this case as an agent of government, to decide what religious speech is appropriate. You can't do that. And the school it requires the school to engage in textbook viewpoint discrimination, rendering the policy unconstitutional. Basically, they can't impinge on the students' rights to create a total ban. Now, schools can allow a place and time to place that kind of restriction on distribution so that you're not, you know, disrupting the course of the day, but you have to make a provision for it, and you can't you can't just say no and treat it like it was, you know, a pocket knife or a stick of dynamite or something like that. ACLJ sent a letter explaining all of this to the school to encourage them to do away with that policy. And I like this, or legal action can proceed.
There you go.
So, you know, if your student wants to distribute religious literature, check and make sure that there's no restriction on time or place. But otherwise, you can go ahead and do it. Even if they don't like it. One other thing, too. This is a new so-called worship song that has come out. The article talks about the variation in music in churches over the years, everything from, you know, Gregorian chants to cymbals and flutes to organ choruses from Bach and others to guitars and electric pianos and whatever all we have going right now. Lyrics have varied a lot from How Great Thou Art, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord, Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Oh, let's go around and worship. Well, now they've come up with, this church has come up with something else. It's, where's this? The report comes out of End Times Headlines, and it's a church in Gilbert, Arizona, called the Well Church, W-E-L-L, I guess, like, you know, dip water out of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's this song. Here are the lyrics for this song. That in this church, God bless the Christian. God bless the atheist. God bless the Muslim. God bless the rest of us. We've got no idea what we're doing. Let all our friends in and all our enemies and all our children, all of our families. We've got no idea what we're doing. We've tried to find you through the centuries, different religions in different countries. We've got no idea what we're doing. That's the song. Comment made in that report, which I think is quite appropriate. Let's be clear. The Christian faith is not a foggy attempt to guess at God's nature. It's the glorious revelation of God in Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Pretty straightforward. And the reason I brought that up is because you're not going to have that kind of music on missionary radio.
Oh, no.
Joe Barnard is very careful with what he selects and makes sure that the lyrics are biblically supported and not contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the strong features here is that you're not going to find stupid lyrics.
That's it.
Are you going to have some music you're going to like, songs you're going to like more than others, just like any other radio station?
Very true.
And you the same thing when you go to church. You say, well, I don't really like that hymn, but we're going to sing anyway.
Yeah.
Anything you hear here, you know, is going to be sound. It's not going to contradict Scripture.
That's right.
That's just like the programs.
That's right. Very true.
But there is some stuff going on out there, and there are some churches that put out some, you know, questionable lyrics.
So very much so.
Check your lyrics. There was a very popular song back in the 70s, I guess, that, you know, let's praise God together on our knees.
Uh-huh.
Little praise song. But then you get into the last verses. Don't look above, but look within for God. Hello.
Look within.
Look within for God.
Wow. Okay.
We were going to sing that one time in choir. Look at that. And one of the people said, we can't sing that. And he said, we sure can't. And so that one.
No.
That one went away. So.
I am Brother Mark Fon, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, used Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
At least you know who
we are. That was a surprise. I haven't heard that one before.
At least you know who we are, right? We're Missionary Radio.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one before.
That's
a good one.
I thought what I usually try to do, I like to go to the last, which kind of gives the ones that's been played a few days ago or a day ago. Mm-hmm. That way they're not the same ones running over and over again. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've had Memorial Day yesterday, and it's also this year's the 250th anniversary of our armed forces. In 1775, the U.S. Army was founded on the 14th of June, the Navy on the 13th of October, and the Marine Corps on the 10th of November by the Continental Congress. George Washington was the Commander-in-Chief of the Army. Commodore Isaac Hopkins was the Commander-in-Chief of the Navy, and Major Samuel Nicholas was the first Commander of the Marine Corps. And it will not be a test, but you should know at least one of those. And this little, you know, ragtag put together Army and Navy and Marine Corps defeated the British. So, but this is just a little article, just a few little facts like that in there. Armed Forces Day was proposed by the Secretary of Defense in 1949, codified the unification of Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force under the Department of Defense. And the Marine Corps, however, bless their hearts, and I mean that seriously, declined to discontinue observing the Marine Corps birthday. They'll do Armed Forces Day, and they'll do the Marine Corps birthday because they're Marines, and that's the kind of thing they do.
There you go. There you go.
They also fully support Armed Forces Day, by the way. So there's a lot of that. We've seen some interesting things over the years. And they've had a cycle that is sort of set between the military, you know, being strong and then being weakened and strong and weakened. They said American voters, the vast majority of whom never served in any capacity, periodically elect leaders who are wholly incompetent in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll turn around and elect somebody who pulls it all back together, and they go back and forth and back and forth with that. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth delivered a speech to the Special Operations Forces event, and he had a pretty good line that came in that thing that I kind of appreciate. He said, "Everything starts and ends with warriors, from training to the battlefield. We are leaving wokeness and weakness behind. No more pronouns, no more climate change obsession, no more emergency vaccine mandates. No more dudes in dresses. We're done with that stuff." And he got a good ovation on that one. So it's time to realize that the purpose of our military is to be strong and to be able and ready to break things and blow stuff up if they need to.
Yes.
And well, we just had Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is specifically designed to remember those who have given their lives in the service to the country. Now,
yes.
A lot of the time we emphasize those who lost their lives in combat. Now, I've got names on that Vietnam War wall.
Sure.
And some others. I'm going to throw some names out to you just so you'll hear them. I'm also going to have a couple of names that were killed in training accidents.
Okay.
But then the point being that it's not just those who actually see combat.
Yeah.
We've got so many folks that support it. There's so many hours, for example, flying the F-4, there were so many hours of ground time per flying hour to make sure that beast was maintained ready to do what it wanted to do.
Sure.
We've got those who were in the uniform, which meant they were willing to go into harm's way should it be asked of them.
Sure.
And they need to be honored just as well as you read in the scripture when the Israelites were crossing the Jordan to go, and they left a bunch of folks behind watching the stuff. And they were told they were to be honored just as well. Marshall Federline, he was Army, killed in Vietnam. Dennis Pugh, Ronnie Lindstrom, these are names you don't. Dennis Graham, they were combat losses. Maxwell Anderson, Marv Guthrie, they were killed in training accidents and preparing to go to war. So there are a lot of folks, and like I said, I've been to the wall. It took me about 10 years to be able to go there.
Yeah.
Other folks haven't been yet.
Mm-hmm.
But just to have to remember, it's not just the combat losses. It's those who were prepared if they needed to be.
Sure.
And were willing to do so. And then there's that. There were, you know, I was out by the time the Middle Eastern thing kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
But the first fatality in Desert Storm was when a terrorist rolled a hand grenade into a tent. And there was an Air Force officer in there who was killed when the grenade went off, and he was doing the same function that I did at when I was stationed at Fort Campbell, attached to the 3rd Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
So, it makes you think.
Sure.
It makes you think. But just remember that. And, I don't think anybody here is going to know those names that I mentioned, but they're there, and they're in my head.
Well, sure.
And one of them, I couldn't remember his last name until last night. I've been thinking about it for a couple of days because it hadn't occurred to me in quite a while.
Sure.
And so just remember that when you go by memorials. There's something else you could do, by the way, on any of these days or just sometime. If you're in our area or somewhere where you can, say you're going down to Clarksville, you're from Clarksville, you're coming up Hoptown. You'll go past the Veterans Cemetery. Pull in, just drive through. Just drive around, look at the grave, look at the cross, tombstones.
Sure.
And remember.
Absolutely.
And remember. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, that's that. We're coming up on time for Pen from the Heart. So
we are.
I will sit there and go out there half a minute early today.
All right.
I'll make up for it later.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void,
but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, thank you. You have helped me so much in my ministry. I listen to you all the time. From Clarksville, thank you for years of great music and programs. From Madisonville, I enjoy your programs. You are such an inspiration daily. May God continue to bless the station. And from Pembroke, thank you for your service to the Lord. God is so good.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Jim Dozier Adams in with us this morning.
Yeah, I got a weird thing that I ran across.
Uh-oh.
Antinatalism.
Now, what's that?
That's the idea that people shouldn't have children.
Oh, okay.
You know, there was a fertility clinic in Palm Springs was car-bombed last week.
Uh-huh.
They said the guy that did it is a guy named Guy Edward Bartkus. 25, he appears to have been killed in the blast. He left some posts behind on the videos, and he expressed intention to commit suicide. He is an antinatalist. Now, that differs from there's a group called the Child Free Movement that doesn't make, antinatalist means no one should have children.
Mm-hmm.
The world is unjust. Life brings suffering, and those not yet born cannot consent to being brought into existence, so it is unethical to bring them into existence. Now, that is stupid on so many different... You know, if a couple decides not to have children, that is your business.
Your business. Yeah,
unless you're using abortion as a means of birth control, then we need to have it called.
Yeah.
But rest of it, you know, it's your decision to make, and there are lots of factors that can be involved in that. But to sit there and say... The world should not, you know, how to wipe out the universe in one generation. They got a lot of conversations going about these things, but apparently this antinatalism thing's been around for a while, and there's a distinction between their view and their personal experience. Two of the antinatalists, they called them Anna and Mark, but they're in quotation marks, which means, of course, they made up the names. They have families and children they love, but said the world would be better off if those children did not exist.
Wow.
Boy, how to make your kid feel really important and wanted.
Yeah, right.
Yipe. Then they have views about suffering. They're kind of, he said in the article, they're kind of immature and myopic. I think that's the desire wants to reduce human suffering, and then it gets into eliminate suffering, which, of course, to do that, you have to eliminate people.
Mm.
I mean, you know, if you start rejecting biblical theology, you know, I'll be getting to someone that, then, you know, you're going to end up coming some pretty nutty stuff.
True.
Who defines suffering? Some people may have, something is overwhelming misery, and more of them think it's a challenge. Well, Johnny Erickson taught him, you know, just for example.
Yep.
But you're not supposed to superimpose your attitude about life's difficulties on somebody else. Another one, facing events that would agree are sources of unhappiness. Initial reactions are not always our lifelong feelings. People heal, people adapt, people move on, people accept the situation they're in and trust in the Lord and work with it.
That's right.
The idea to eliminate all suffering ignores the good that comes from some of that. How many medical advances? Prosthetics, for example, just to get that thing. The advances made there are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll point out in these articles that antinatalism sounds more like a pathology, a disease, than an ideology. But the guy that got killed, that did the bombing, he was depressed. He felt worthless. So he said, everyone must be worthless. Everybody's got to be like me. If I feel bad, everybody should feel bad. And if they don't feel bad, it's because they just don't know they should.
Mm-hmm.
But you sit there, and it goes on, you know, several examples they give. But there's a more basic issue here is what was called the dominion mandate part of it in Genesis, when Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply.
True.
That was,
true.
You know, God's purpose. And as again, if, you know, if there are situations with couples and others choose not to have children for various reasons.
Sure.
Most of the time legitimate. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said a few minutes ago, unless you're using abortion as a means of birth control, then, you know, that's not an issue. I have no issue with you.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, then we need to sit down and have a serious talk.
That's it.
But if you look at Satan's purpose is to defeat God's purpose or make it as, you know, miserable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality.
Yeah.
Especially the rampant acceptance of it.
Yes.
And toleration and yes. Even encouragement of it. No procreation involved that way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's the abortion issue.
Yes.
You know that. And it's so many areas that Satan is trying to do away with in this antinatalism.
Mm-hmm.
The increase some number of folks who are not getting married. And not
true,
having children
true.
Because of various reasons, some of which are mm-hmm. legitimate, and a lot of which, quite frankly, are not legitimate
true.
Reasons.
True.
You know, it may be a personal reason, but it's not a legitimate reason. There's a difference in there, and it's a difference of degree. But so Satan's purpose is to, if he can't defeat God, which he can't, then let's make his people as miserable and do as much damage as possible. Let's come up with these ideologies saying, oh, it's cruel to bring a child into this world.
Mm.
And these folks are saying, well, the child didn't get to choose. We must
yeah.
always have choice about everything. The child can't choose to be born, therefore you have no right to force it to be born. I say, you out of your skull.
It's really weird.
You know, I've got some friends, and they've got their children, recently had children.
Yeah.
And you get the pictures, you know, taken in there, and they're holding a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see? You see smiles.
See smiles.
Now I have it on good authority.
Yes.
That childbirth in and of itself is quite a painful operation for a lady.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
But right as the Bible says, you know, the travail is displeasant for a moment, but then there's the joy of the new life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's just something about that.
Well, you know, my wife, of course, when we had Kylie, after her birth, she had a rough time because the doctor used staples,
mm-hmm.
and her iron got low,
oh,
and she passed out on me. And mm-hmm. her incision opened back up. So that was weeks and weeks of wearing a wound back,
mm-hmm.
you know, for it to heal
yeah.
up, you know. But the birth of that child, the birth of our child, you know, that was worth all the pain, I believe, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
I really, you know.
The pain passed, the wounds healed.
The wounds heal, and, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, the child is, you know— something that God has given you to raise up,
yeah,
you know,
and to enjoy,
and to enjoy.
Yeah, it's very hard for some folks to learn how to enjoy
mm-hmm.
being a parent because it's also scary.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I remember my first, you know, child. I mean, you know, that was a scary ordeal. You know, hey, I'm going to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a responsibility.
Yeah,
you know, and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it makes a difference. But I'm proud to be a dad. I'm mm-hmm. proud to have children. You know, and be able to raise them up. You know, in church,
mm-hmm.
and that they know who Jesus is.
Yeah, so, yeah,
very important.
It is, and it's. But just realizing, I had not run across this. I knew that there were some folks that thought that the entire human race should disappear because we're a cancer on the earth. But it's odd that these folks that come up with those ideas never seem to volunteer to be the first to go.
That's it.
You know.
And then
they got this family that has children, but they're saying that the world, they would be better, children would be better off if they hadn't been born, and the world would be mm-hmm. better off if they weren't there, but they're here, so we love them. And I thought,
yeah,
that is, you know, that kid's going to be in therapy of some sort at some point.
Yeah. That's really
if they,
bad.
You know, say that kind of stuff out loud.
Really bad.
But to say, the whole idea of this thing though would result in the elimination of the human race.
Yeah.
Which isn't going to happen until God winds it up.
That's it.
But there's so many ways this shows up: the mass executions, the mass murderings,
mm-hmm.
even the generation of wars.
Yeah.
You know, wars are not, you know, God's idea. He's had some situations, you know, the Canaanites, they were told, Joshua was told to eliminate the whole herd, every man and beast.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's how bad they had gotten.
Sure.
Well, nobody's really that bad. Well, apparently they are.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, God killed everybody in the world but 8 people one time because it got so bad.
That's it.
Well, I just can't imagine that. You don't have to imagine it. Just read it in the book. It happened. It happened. Read the first 11 chapters of Genesis at the states or the foundation for everything else.
But, Jim, they always say, but God would do that. He's a loving God.
Uncle God would never do that.
Yeah, Uncle God would never do that.
You know, we keep telling God how to act and what he wouldn't do and how he shouldn't do. But, you know, we it's called anthropomorphism. It's when you treat something that's not human as though it were human. God's not human.
That's right.
He's God.
He's God.
He is totally and 125% or better other.
That's it. That's it.
And you stop and just think about it. You know, about time for Johnny. But
it is.
The first thing recorded in Scripture God created was time. He said, in the beginning. Yep. Before that, there was no beginning. There was just God. Fry your brain a little bit with that one.
There you go.
So he invented this thing. So he gets to run it. Let's go to Johnny and be nice.
All right.
Get ready, because today we've got a worst case scenario from Johnny.
Those are hard words, aren't they? And suppose they were applied to your child. Suppose other parents or even educators looked at your son or daughter and thought of him or her as a worst-case scenario. Well, it's a little like how Robin felt. Her son, 13-year-old Matthew, had always had problems, whether on the playground, in their neighborhood, at school or church. Matthew was diagnosed high on the autism spectrum and has a lot of other secondary disabilities. Loud noises and crowds can cause Matthew to burst into tears, and emotional meltdowns aren't far behind. Matthew can easily go ballistic, which in turn causes so much fear among other children, as well as ostracizing from other adults. All Robin ever wanted as a young mother was to see Matthew fit. Now, Robin had heard about our Johnny and Friends family retreats, but when she registered, she thought for sure their family would be refused, given all Matthew's problems that she had to list on the form. She was even a little surprised when they were accepted. And when her family arrived at retreat, Robin did not know what to expect from Matthew. Even though he was barely a teenager, Matthew had never been able to attend a camp. Due to his multiple disabilities, both church and school camps were impossible. It was that thing about loud noises and crowds that made it hard. But from the moment they arrived on our campus, Robin was taken aback. Oh, yes, there were crowds, and there was a lot of noise at family retreat, but there was also a structured program that provided quiet spaces and low-lit sensory rooms. There were opportunities for Matthew to simply sit by the lake with his volunteer. They'd sit there, look for fish, watch people in canoes, play Uno. Our family retreat team worked hard to make sure Matthew's special challenges were addressed. More than that, we worked hard to help Matthew become a best-case scenario. An example of a camper who, despite a tough disability, was having fun and learning about Jesus. By the end of the week, Matthew had taken a big step. He was canoeing in that same lake and even ziplining, all to his mother's amazement. The best part, though, was watching Matthew bond with his volunteers and learning to make friends. It was enough to reduce his mother to tears. And then for her to see Matthew access the Bible lessons really moved her heart. It was clear for the first time her son was not only welcomed, but he truly belonged. For this little family, who for so long had felt unwelcomed, unwanted, and even rejected, well, family retreat was the chance to become a full part of the body of Christ.
And friend, you can make a difference in the lives of people who feel rejected because of their disability. Family retreat season is underway, and we're always in need of more volunteers. So please check out all our family retreat opportunities by visiting johnnyradio.org today. There's a family retreat in your area, I just know it. And there's a disabled boy or girl just waiting to be your friend. God will use you this summer to change someone's life at family retreat, and he'll change your life in the process. Remember, that's johnnyradio.org. Listening friend, we want to pray for you. Go to johnnyradio.org today and leave us your prayer request. And while you're there, check out the many resources and radio programs there at your fingertips. And be sure to share that link with a friend in need of encouragement, too. It's johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." In an old Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that her brother Linus change TV channels and then threatened him with her fist if he didn't. "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" asked Linus. "These five fingers," said Lucy, "individually they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "What channel did you want?" sighed Linus. Turning away, he looked at his fingers and said, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" That's the power of teamwork. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation. 100%
listener-funded missionary radio.
And, of course, Jim in with us this morning.
Yeah, I'm doing it. We're going to do some commentary from a devotional book, the one that James Montgomery Boyce got put together.
All right.
Compiled by D. Marion Clark. It's called Come to the Waters, his daily devotionals for spiritual refreshments, things from the late day James Montgomery Boyce and Bible Study Hour. Okay, we're going to Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23.
Okay, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows that is what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand."
Okay, this is Daniel 2:20 is one of the key verses, that blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. Of course, we like to have that for ourselves, but Daniel points out, no, not really. Boyce writes about this. He says the theme of Daniel's prayer is the sovereignty of God. The prayer has three parts. First, there is praise to God for two of his most important attributes, wisdom and power. How appropriate is the ascription of wisdom to God in these circumstances, when Daniel needed to know the king's dream and its meaning. The wisest of the Babylonians, the magicians, the enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers, had been shown to be inadequate. They had confessed, "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods." The thing was, of course, that Nebuchadnezzar says, "Tell me what my dream means." "Well, tell us the dream." He said, "No, you're the magician. You tell me what you describe the dream, so I'll know that you are, you know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, you know, we won't really know what we're talking about until you tell us what we're talking about." Kind of blew their cover. Okay, second attributes. Second attribute of which Daniel praised God is power. That is, his sovereignty. In our natural state, none of us likes this attribute of God. I mean, we don't. We just go all the way back to, "You shall be as gods if you eat this fruit God told you not to eat."
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that makes good sense. Okay, this is because we want to be sovereign ourselves. "I am the master of my fate, I'm the captain of my soul," or maybe it's the other way around. I keep misquoting that. It deserves to be misquoted. We want to be powerful to control our lives. This was true of Nebuchadnezzar, greatest ruler of all at the time. The story unfolds, even Nebuchadnezzar subjects himself to God and confesses openly he does according to his will. That's in chapter 4. Second part of Daniel's prayer is the acknowledgement that God imparts both wisdom and power to mankind. So we do get some of that. He imparts power, for he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. We look around right now at all the stuff going on, all these various leaders. Every one of them wants to get my way.
That's true.
And
very true.
God sets them up and takes them down at the appropriate time. Let's see. There we go. Going back to the article, he's talking about God. God imparts wisdom. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. No doubt the greatest portion of this wisdom in spiritual things, is reserved for God's people. But there is a general as well as general wisdom given to non-believers too, just as political power is given to non-believing as well as believing rulers. The important thing is a recognition that this comes from God. It makes all the difference in the way we live our lives when we know that God and not man is ultimately in charge of the circumstances. It's a hard one to get a hold of, especially in the circumstances that we don't like.
Oh, yeah.
We find a situation. Just to take a look at the back half of Hebrews chapter 11. Mm-hmm. We like that first half. It talks about all the good stuff and being delivered and taken. But then we get into the rest of them. Folks died a bunch of miserable deaths and never saw any deliverance until they got to heaven. Let's see here. Finally, in the third part of his prayer, Daniel praises God for the wisdom and power he's imparted to him personally. You and I have not been given Daniel's special ability to know and understand dreams. But as wise as Daniel was, we have a wisdom greater than his, since it has been given to us to know and believe in Jesus Christ personally. The Bible says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Colossians 2. So to know Jesus as Savior and Lord is to be wise. If you have that knowledge, do you thank God for it, as Daniel did? Do you praise him for the wisdom that made you wise unto salvation? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And, there are those that get their psychologists and a whole lot of that were studying dreams, and what this dream means is this, what this dream means is that. Well, sometimes I think what this dream means, I shouldn't have had that pepperoni pizza before I went to bed. sometimes you get things like that.
That's true.
Or I've learned that sometimes, you know, I've watched a scary movie or something on television.
Yeah.
I've learned, go watch a cartoon before you go to bed.
Yeah, make you laugh a little bit.
And then when you go to bed, you get ready to go to bed, recite it, you know, in your head, a psalm or something like that, so your last thoughts going in will be the Lord. My wife sings hymn in a bed. She's got a book that studies, you know, the origin and the stories behind the hymns, and so she sings, if she knows it, she sings the hymn, and she reads it there to get the last thoughts be something of that nature.
There you go.
And it works out actually quite well with that. But the sovereignty of God's an issue that we have a lot of trouble dealing with. And part of it is our human nature. We really do want to be in charge.
Well, sure we do.
You know, and it hurts to be broken, realize that you've done all the things that you're told you're supposed to do, and the results have not turned out like you were told they were supposed to come to work out. And you say, well, why is that? Well, maybe God has a different plan, or maybe you were doing your plan and not his plan, and you need to be corrected.
There you go.
And so get doors closed and say, well, where's the door that's open? Well, the try for a window.
Yeah.
Or maybe wait for the divine carpenter to get there and hang a door for you. Because sometimes we do have to sit and wait semi-patiently.
Oh, yeah.
I say semi. I'm waiting patiently. Well, if you're waiting so patiently, how come you're grumbling?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
There are times it's hard to acknowledge God's sovereignty.
Sometimes sure it is.
Pray, Lord, unless you got a whole lot better plan there that we're not party to.
Sure.
The knowledge of, can you do this? I think it was Dr. Cook this morning was talking about, if you're in a situation, you go ahead and pray for, tell God what you want. It's like that old song I don't really like, Jesus on the Main Line, tell him what you want.
Uh-huh.
I really don't like that song. But it makes a very valid point. Just go ahead. He knows anyway.
He does.
He does. But go ahead and acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, Lord, unless you got a better plan, I really would like the lady. She's about the lady that was very, very sick.
Yeah.
So said, Lord, unless you got a much better plan I don't know about, I really would like to get well and serve you for a while longer.
Absolutely.
And she ended up dying somewhere in her 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I got an answer to that prayer. And sometimes God just wants us to ask, to acknowledge that He is in charge of these things.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, you off the prayer, you got your friend or a family member or a parent that is sick or injured, and you pray for their recovery and nothing, and it doesn't happen.
That's right. True.
And there's a lot of that. Someone says, well, you just didn't have enough faith, balderdash. God is sovereign. God knows more than you knew something you don't know.
True.
You know, I remember one guy made a comment once, God is sovereign. He kills people. Don't do something to make him have to kill you.
True.
You know, don't be in rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be in rebellion.
True.
Remember, this is the God. He took out everybody in the world except 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
And from that 8 people, all the rest of us came, so we're all cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means the folks you don't like are, you know, some of you, they're distant enough cousins, you don't have to get close with them. But
of course, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, he destroyed Sodom and
Gomorrah. How many was in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Bunch.
A bunch.
There are several other towns in that area as well. Those are just two main ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the commands given to, first let's go to Egypt, firstborn.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, oh, God stepped back and let Satan do it. That's not what the word says.
Mm-mm.
God did that. He executed.
That's right.
The firstborn of everything. Except that the tip that was marked with the blood on the doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
And they had killed it. So there is, it does go on. It doesn't give us license to do it.
No.
But the point being that God is sovereign and He knows what has to be done.
Absolutely.
And things had gotten so bad with the Canaanites and some of those other folks that every trace of them needed to be obliterated. And, of course, the Israelites didn't do it, and it was a stumbling block to them, you know, on from there.
Mm-hmm.
We got news coming up.
We do.
Prayer request time. Those will be your prayer requests for the day, so I'll pay good attention. Be in prayer about that and be in prayer for Missionary Radio because there's a lot of good things happening here.
Yes.
And be grateful for guys like Joe Barner that does make sure our music is good.
Absolutely.
And the rest of the crew that watches out for the programs. And,
yes.
And Brian, who gets up early to come over here in the morning.
Yeah.
All the way from Greater Metropolitan Elkton.
Yeah, big area.
There you go.
Thanks.
God bless. See
thanks,
you in a couple
Jim.
Of weeks, Lord willing.
All right. Thanks for listening to Front Porch. Join us again tomorrow morning here on Missionary Radio.